तमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। सो बिफोर आई लुक इन ब्रिंग अप एनीथिंग दिस फ्रॉम एवरीथिंग वी हैव स्टडीड सो फार यू स्टडीड सो फार एनी क्वेश्चंस you have or anything you want to clarify, it'd be a good time to do that now that, you know, when we have a side like this that we're not going to the text itself, I'll be happy to discuss anything like that, or otherwise I can bring things up too. Yeah, and Stephanie, if you do go to the chat, I think now you can chat, send to everyone if you wanted to. Yeah. Oh, you see, you did everyone. Yeah, I see, good. That's now, no, that's not a problem. Excellent, great. So if you have any questions, that would be great. If not, that's not a problem. There's always a lot to discuss anyway. It's never ending. Good. So if there isn't, you can always bring up during the class, no problem. So one thing that I'll bring up it for Raji will be a review, I think, but it's always a good review, which actually will help with what we're getting into, as with this chapter being the jnana karma sannyasa, because before we had karma yoga and this one is karma sannyasa, renunciation of action through understanding, through jnana. This is what this chapter is focused on. So one thing that's very helpful for this, for the understanding of this, is some points on consciousness. What is consciousness? That this Swami Paramarthanandaji has taught. And again, the Swami Paramarthanandaji, he's phenomenal that he takes some of the verses or some of the concepts from Vedanta, really just structures them in a very systematic way that's easy for us to understand. Really phenomenal. Literally, when you hear him talk, he gives takes a few verses and gives a very nice breakdown and outline. So he talks about consciousness in this way, which can very much help us to understand it. He says, first of all, the consciousness is not a part of the body, not a product of the body, not property. Not part, product, or property of the body. Like this. This is the first point he gives. Because literally in Vedanta, then the most important thing is viveka, the discrimination. Because I can say, I am the consciousness which is unlimited. Okay, very good. Now just go and relax. But what did I learn from it? I still have to get up and work and deal with everything else. So viveka, what is needed, the discrimination between what is consciousness, what is it not. Atma and atma viveka. This is the most important thing, because if I just focus on what is consciousness, it doesn't help me because I have a confusion about what it is. When I have a confusion about something, I have to understand what it is, what it isn't. Like this. More important here is what it isn't. When I negate what it isn't, there's no problem in this way. Somebody's on a trial. When it's confirmed that they're innocent, what else they did, that doesn't matter. They're innocent, that they're not guilty, meaning not the innocent. Not guilty, that's all. That's what's important. Everything else doesn't matter. Then they're free. You're free and that's it. So here I think I'm bound. When I understand I'm not bound, no problem. I don't have to understand what I am. What I am is what I am. And I'll never, it's not something for understanding. You can't totally grasp in mind anyway. But in any case, up to here, that's why now we're saying the body and consciousness, because the body is one of the main things I'm identifying with within this world. If not a body, then where am I? What am I? So I take myself as something limited in the world, and that the body is, in the manifest world, what I take myself as. So it's not a, so again, not a part, product, property of the body, because if it was a part of the body, then you'll say you have, you know, the skeletal system and nervous system and kidneys and liver and all these things, and the consciousness is somewhere there. Where are you going to point the consciousness in the body? Right? Swami Shivananda, he said that when he was a doctor, if he dissect a cadaver or operate in a body, he'd never see the Atma in there. Right? You never find it. It's not part of the body. Or within yourself, you'll see, where is it? Where is it in the body? Where are you going to find it? Not a property of the body, because again, the body has different properties, that it does different systems, do different things, create different things, or change different things, all sorts of, this is what the body does, all these functionalities. But consciousness isn't a property like this of it. There's like the, in the digestive system, then maybe it's more acidic, other places, it's all different things. And of course, a product as well. The product is what science is going to say. The product of the brain, they want to say how consciousness is a product of the brain. This is the idea that science takes. They take material as the base and consciousness as the byproduct. And Vedanta says, no, it isn't like that. It doesn't make sense. The subtler thing is the base. So you can't see as product something that is created from the body like this, some phenomena. Product of the body would be some phenomena like this. Say, this isn't what it is. So that's first thing. It's none of these. So you can't then tie it together as something that is from the body. That's one of the main things here. It's not born from the body, the consciousness. So we say, okay, and then that's the first point. Second one is saying it's a separate entity that pervades and enlivens the body. Because you'll say, again, when we said before, it's not a part of the body. Where is it in the body? Where is it not in the body? All right? You're aware of everything, the whole body you're aware of. So it's in one place or not. And the interesting thing is, when you feel something, there's a thorn in your finger or in your toe, you feel where it is. And you feel different places. I have a pain in the back, I feel it there, right? So I feel the different places. But the consciousness, you're aware of the whole body, the consciousness in your finger, your toe, or the back is the same thing. It's not, I have finger consciousness, I have back consciousness. It's you, it's the same consciousness. So it's one thing pervading the whole body. Otherwise you can compartmentalize, but can you? It's still the same awareness. It's the same awareness there. You can't break it down to multiple awarenesses, right? So it's totally pervading the body. And saying it's a separate entity that pervades the body, because otherwise it would be, you know, part product of the body of this. But it's not. It's not that. And so this is second thing, because you know it's everywhere in the body. You know it's there. And everywhere in the body, even places you don't feel, you're still aware there. Because if you observe your body, you feel it. You feel sensations, and you feel air. There are areas where you don't feel anything, but you're still aware there. The nervous system isn't aware there, so if it was, you know, property from the nervous system, you should be able to be aware of the areas that there's no sensation. What makes you aware of that? Physiologically, it doesn't make sense. You can't see there. They'll say in the mind. Is your mind true? You need the mind for anything, but you're aware there anyway. You don't have to think to be aware there. So that's why I say, so it's pervading the whole body. You can't just be created by the body like this. So this is the second point. something separate that is not from the body, which is totally filling the whole body. Kind of like in the, you're sitting in the room there, the space is something separate from the room that's completely filling the room. You can't say it's part of the room, the structure and everything. It's not, you know, if you demolish it, that space didn't get, nothing happened to the space in the room. You can't say that that space in the room is made, you know, the person made it. Like example that's given, if you make a pot, you had a lump of clay, you make a pot. How'd that space get there? Did that space suddenly come and enter or whatever? So yes, it's the space pervading the whole pot and everything, but you can't say it's something that is part of the pot. The pot is just clay. So the room here has walls and everything, enclosure, and the space inside, yes, it pervades, but it's something separate from the room itself, from the structure of the walls. So the structure of the body is something separate. And the space is totally pervading this room, 100% pervading, so same here. Same with the body, consciousness totally pervading the body. Now the third point then afterwards is that the consciousness isn't limited to the boundaries of the body, like this. Because if it were, again, part of the body in this, then how can it be outside the body? No. Again, take the space again here. Is the space in this room limited to the boundaries of this room? How can you say that it's limited to the boundaries? The room is within the space, not vice versa. Right? I say the space in the room. The room is in the space. It's not the other way around. So how do you know the body's there? You're aware of it, right? You're aware. Within the awareness, there is the body. It's not the other way around, that there's the body and then I'm aware. But I'm aware and I'm within the awareness, I feel the body, like this. So this, because imagine if the body were not totally numb, no sense of touch. You're still aware. You don't stop being aware if the body were numb, if you don't feel the body. So the awareness, and you know the body's there because you're aware. What you're aware just within this little thing, you know, that's why just as you do a little yoga meditation, you feel expansive because you're not identifying as much with the sensation of the body, and you know you're aware, so you don't feel that. You don't feel the same limitation like this. So it can't be limited by, it's not limited by just this, because again, the sensation of the body is just something within it. That's why one of the terms given for the consciousness is chidakasha. Chidakasha meaning this space-like awareness. Very interesting. Chidakasha, I always took as the space of awareness. That's how I always just took it, because that's what it sounds like. And when you have a conjunct word like this in Sanskrit, a few words put together, then it can be interpreted in different ways. Because when you put two words together, two words link in some way. But this interpretation, there's some teacher always says space-like awareness, and then finally knows, hey, this is what he's referring to as the chidakasha. Because you're aware, and your awareness is more like the space, not like the body, not like the form of the body. Because that's just something you experience within the awareness. So because I'm so used to it and I'm focused in it, then I take myself to be that shape and size and sensation of that. But really speaking, I'm aware. Within it, I feel the sensations. Now, sensation of the body are changing all the time. My perception of the body changes. Now I feel heavy and not good. Now I feel very light. I don't feel the body as much. Right, I feel more expansive. It's always changing. Different parts of the body feel different times. So I'm aware, and those things are changing. The fact that I'm aware is the same. Just like objects in the space, like this. So this is to show, look, the awareness is not something limited to this sphere of the body. It's just an idea like this. Actually, there's a very interesting thing how when you look into it, into the space, then first of all you have the bhutakasha, you have the physical space. Bhuta is the element, so the element space. Bhutakasha is the physical space here, right? One of the physical elements. I have that. We have that. So all of the, everything you see in the world, everything you experience in the world, all the objects, phenomena that are within the space. Without the space, they wouldn't be there, right? Where would they go? They need to live somewhere. They can't be homeless. So then, space, they're in the space. Now, here's an interesting thing. Now, remove all the objects. Imagine all the objects are gone. Do you experience anything? You wouldn't experience anything. Where's that space then, when there are no objects? Without the mind, would the space be there then? Objects meaning also, body is also part of the object. So I'm here and I'm seeing just space. No, that's also object. So I have to remove, there's no body as well then, there's just space. Where's that space sitting? Can only sit in your mind, because you can't experience the space. You experience objects, right? You don't. Objects meaning seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, smelling, those things. Seeing, hearing, touching mainly. Smelling, tasting first doesn't give sense of direction or any of these things. So seeing, hearing, touching, those three are the ones that really, that I get some sort of, okay, there's space around me like this. If I remove them, then where is the space? Space is in the mind. So meaning the space is really a mental category, it's not a physical category. Because without, when I take away the hearing, seeing, touching, space, where is it? It's my mind. My mind projects the space. So meaning that the space is in the mind, which is chitta akasha. So chitta akasha, the two T's, chitta akasha, this is the mental space, because chitta is the mind. So that mental space. So really, space is in the mind. So now, big corollary for this, which takes a lot to look into then is, well, where the objects are in the space and the space is in the mind. So that's already quite something to swallow, right? But, okay, so the space, but where's that mental space? Where's the mental space sitting? It has to sit somewhere too. It's in the mind. Where's the mind? Well, how do I know the mind is there? If I take the same corollary, like we did the same thing to the body, the conscious is not part, product, property of the mind. It's a separate entity that pervades and enlivens the mind. It's not limited to the limitation of the mind. Not limited by the mind. Because when the mind isn't there, like deep sleep, or moments here and there and the mind is quiet, you as awareness are there. Otherwise, it would be bound by the mind. Right? You're limited by some idea in the mind, but you learn to see beyond it. What helps to stretch beyond it? You're beyond it. You're beyond the mind. So the chidaka, so it shows the space, then chidakasha is the space like awareness. So everything's within the awareness, you can say. But again, to say everything's within the awareness is a very big leap. But starting with the body is within the awareness is a much easier first step like this. Because as an individual being, I'm body-centric. That's the center, that's my address, that's where I start from. So by negating that, already I'll negate, so I'll see so much beyond it. So okay, so then, not part, property, product of the body, not a separate entity which pervades and limits the body, and not bound by the boundaries of the body. Then the next point is, so when the body ceases to exist, the consciousness doesn't cease to exist. Because if it was part of property of the body, then body goes, it's gone. Right? Separate entity, if it was coming from the body, not a separate entity, again body goes, it'll be gone too. Right? Package deal. When you destroy the house where the pot falls and break, was the space inside affected? No, right? Did the space inside say, hey, I was bound inside these boundaries for decades, I'm so happy to be free? From the space, what is the boundary? There's no boundary, it's just something within the space. So the thing is then, from the consciousness perspective as well, seemingly within the body, seemingly limited, so also seemingly, then seemingly bound, seemingly free. It doesn't cease to exist, because it's not something that comes from the body. The body, something appears within it, like objects appearing in the space, and objects go, the space isn't affected. Like the space remains the same, untouched. Then, the last one after this is, and when the body isn't there, then there isn't the medium for to connect. One cannot access it because you need the medium to connect to it, because the body is the medium, you can say. So it's so for this one you can say, well, let's say that we're all on the same social media platform. I don't know all the social media platforms. Oh, I found how you have the chat on the side. You have to beat full screen mode, it doesn't work. When you go exit full screen mode, then it comes up. Something new. We learned something new in Vedanta, something new in Zoom. Always learn something new. So, in any case, where were we with that? So what happens is, if we're on the same social media platform, and then one of us cancels the account, closes the account, gone. Now, how can you contact that person through that platform? There's no way to do it. There's email. You cancel your email account. Can you email that person? No way you can email that person, because did the person cease to exist? No, they didn't cease, but you can't contact them because through email there's no email account like that. How are you going to do that? So same way, the conscious being is there, and the conscious being can somehow is reflecting, somehow is expressing through an individual. Now that individual ceases to exist, how can you contact that individual? There's no, the individual is like the email account, like that, gone. You can't connect, but the consciousness beyond didn't cease to exist, still there, like this. So the consciousness, when the body's gone, the consciousness doesn't cease to exist, and also it's not accessible in this way, because it's not accessible because it needs something to access it. Otherwise, how are you going to access it, like that? Like here, there's so much energy coming from the sun, so much. So all our energy problems are gone. No, it's not gone. You have to access it somehow. So solar panels, and then there's energy from the wind. So they make turbines, things like this. Also, there's research in waves. They put certain buoys, and those buoys are supposed to, or buoys, some people say, I think depends on where you're from, how you pronounce it, that they will be connected to something that creates energy. So all the energy is there, but it's not useful unless it has some medium, some way to connect, to utilize it. So the consciousness without some medium, what's it going to do? Because the consciousness on its own doesn't do anything. It can't do something. So in this way, you have the sun, you have the solar panels, then. When I was a kid, before almost anywhere in the world anybody was doing anything with solar energy, where I lived, everybody was getting solar panels and heating, for heating water mostly, because desert area is so hot. Because in Israel, they're very, very, very innovative, one of the most innovative places. So there, this is, 40, 50 years back, already solar panels, hot water, everybody in our area is having hot water from that. Of course, they become more and more efficient nowadays and everything, but it was no-brainer to heat your water from the sun because there's so much of it. So in any case, so it has to be harnessed then, just the sun like this, what's it going to do? So those are the 5 points Swami Paramarthananda gives about what is consciousness. So not part product property of the body, separate entity that pervades and livens the body. It's not limited to the boundaries of the body. It doesn't cease to exist when the body ceases to exist. And it It's not something accessible once the body is gone, like this. So these points are very helpful to point out about the consciousness, and you can take it to the body, and same with the mind, as we said. Same with the mind, not part, property, product of the mind. So people will say the conscious part of the mind as well. Now the mind, if there's no thoughts, consciousness still there, deep sleep, mind is in a dormant state, you're still there, you know you're there because when you wake up, you know that you slept well. You wouldn't know, you would just feel there's nothing between them, you just feel refreshed for whatever, you don't know why, but you know I slept well, meaning that there's a recollection, that consciousness was there, you were aware of it. Otherwise, we'd have no term for deep sleep. It would be there would be scientific terms, because a scientist will measure your sleep, but you won't know what they mean. They'll say, oh, it's some idea the scientists have. But we know because we're aware. So it's not part, product, property of the mind also, like this. Because how do you know you're aware? How do you know you think? How do you know you're feeling something? You're aware. All these things are secondary, but I take myself as those things, like this. So it's a separate entity that pervades and livens the mind, because also the mind without the mind without the consciousness, which is, a very fancy computer, like this. So and slowly the computer will be able to do everything, they're getting there, everything else the mind can do, and some things more efficient and everything, but there's no conscious being behind it. So it's not this, it's just an instrument, and the mind is an instrument like this as well, right? It's the inner instrument, you can say. That's what they call it, antakarana, inner instrument. Right? So like this, and then it's not limited by the boundaries of the mind, that we said before also, because the mind can only have a certain scope. Mind, whatever, no matter how great a mind still it is, limited. Mind can't know everything, it can't remember everything like this. It has something, it's limited. So it has some sort of purview. But the thing is, you as the conscious being aren't limited by it. If you're limited by it, then when the mind becomes quiet, you're not thinking, you won't be there, but you as awareness are there. So it can't be like this. There's actually one of the streams of Buddhism, Shunyavada, will say, well, when the mind, what is really behind everything? It's nothingness, shunya, void. So, okay, because when you totally empty the mind, there's nothing. So everything just somehow comes out of nothingness. But that Vedanta negates that, saying, very good, how do you know there's nothing there? Oh, mind is quiet, I see there's nothing. Well, you're seeing there's nothing, right? So you're there to witness it. So your conscious being is there to witness it, otherwise there would be no way to say there's nothing. It's like today, when I came in the morning to the room here, let's say, so nobody came, so I'll go back into the house, and then my wife will say, anybody's there in the classroom? Nobody's there. Well, how do you know nobody's there? I looked, meaning you were there. So at least one person had to be there. If you didn't witness it, how would you know nobody's there? So it can't be nothingness, because I'm aware of that nothingness. So this same way, it can't be when the mind is quiet, I'm still there. So meaning that it can't be limited by the mind, because if it was limited by the mind, conscious not there either then. So that's why I say it's not limited by the mind, boundaries of the mind, time or space boundary. Mind, of course, mind is conceptual, conceptual time and space of the mind. And then when the mind ceases to exist, ceases to be there, then the consciousness doesn't cease to exist. Well, that's the same example, right? Mind is quiet, deep sleep, whatever state like this, consciousness still there. You as the awareful being are still there. You can't not be there. Where will you go? Right? Actually, where will you go is a backwards thing. because you don't go anywhere. You're aware, and the things come and go within the awareness, within the chidakasha, within the, but as an individual being, yes, I'll come and go. Individual being, I get up in the morning, I do things, I go to places, I move around. We're all of us are living not where we grew up, so we move to somewhere else. Right? And then I say, came to this world, and I'll go away somewhere else, to hopefully to the heaven, right? Hopefully not to to a higher heaven. And then I'll come back here, and I'll get I want a better birth, and all this kind of stuff we'll say. So in this way, we're always think we're going. When my wife, years back, she used to go and teach in Hawaii, when she'd go there for teaching her dance. So when she was there once, she was with somebody, and then there was an earthquake, so they kind of hid under the table, and that person was praying, oh, you know, if I die, just let me have a better birth. I want to be in a good family. But in any case, so I say come and go. Really, I'm aware, and the coming and going is the mind. The mind sees coming and going. Look, how much coming and going in each dream of ours? How much coming and going? Did I come and go anywhere in the dream? I didn't come, I didn't go anywhere in the dream. The mind came and went, but I was just there. I was just aware of all that, those ideas, right? So here also, we're coming and going. You know, you get up, you go to this place, you do that. Your awareness just aware these are happening like this. So not lit, the mind is doing all the moving around, but the consciousness is just aware of it like this. So that's the not limited by the mind like this. And then when the mind is there, it doesn't cease to exist. We already brought that up, same thing. So in this way, the consciousness, that's why the consciousness we're saying with respect to the body, with respect to the mind, for this viveka. Because again, just on its own, it's not helping us to say. It's good to know we can say some things about it, but most of what we look into is negating what it's not, because that's the issue. When I understand what it's not, I don't need to know what it is, because that's me, I am. I don't need something else. It's the mistake that's the problem, not what it is that is the issue. Okay, so this is what is pointed out like this about the consciousness. Okay, I see a question coming in, so let it come. So, does consciousness take up physical space? The physical space, where is it? We said it's mental category, it's the mind. And the mind, where's the mental space? Mental space is also an idea, right? And it's superimposed on the consciousness. That's why we say bhutakasha, physical space, right? Now, bhutakasha, the physical space, is really it's a mental category, meaning it's the chittakasha, right? Chittakasha, mental space, chidakasha, space like awareness. So really, we have these three spaces we talk about, but really speaking is, when you really look closely into it, the physical space is not separate from the mental space, right? It just seemingly is out there, seemingly external, but really speaking, it's not, it's the mind. When any study of the space itself will be done with the mind, it's true there's observation of gravity and of objects, but just the space itself directly, that one is calculated in things in the mind, because the scientists will do. So it's really the mind, in the mind, you can say. And then, so mental space, again, it's a space, because there's space in your mind for all the stuff to be there. You know, we have a lot of physical things, we need space to keep them. We have so much mental stuff that needs to be kept in the space, so we need the mental space to keep it, right? Now, though, Where is this mental space, anything in your mind, because you're aware. If you're not aware, where is the mind going to be? It needs the awareness behind it. So we say not the space of awareness, space like awareness, because awareness is like the space. But again, space implies some dimensions and that things can be inside. But awareness is like that. It's not space, but space like awareness, as though space. Because there's no real space there, just like space, because everything is within it. But we tell a story. The story, there's space, the story, everything happened in some space, but it was like space because there was no real space there. So the consciousness, everything within it, space like awareness, seemingly like this. So what happens is, for creation to be there, first you need a where. Without where, how can the whole creation be there? Somebody tells the story, they'll say, in a far-off land, you need where. Then, okay, there's the stage. So we have the whole space here where everything's in. So creation, first the space has to be there for things to be in it. I have the dream world. I need the space of the dream, mental space, for all the things to be there. So creation always has to start from the space, but the space itself is a projection. Because we see it physically, when you take all the objects, the space, without the mind, it's not there. Meaning it's projection from the mind. I'm aware. For things to start to be within your mental awareness, the mind needs to project some space, has some space for the mental creation to be there, like this. So so it's really the opposite. The physical space is a projection with the exists projected within the awareness, like this. So it's the other way around, like this. Okay, in that way. So, because the tricky thing is that I look at, when consciousness is there, because the body also appears within the awareness. It's an appearance within it. So, like this. So, this is a, because I'm used to looking this from a certain angle. Try like this. Something that you have a very preconceived idea about. To see it from a different angle isn't easy. You know, like for instance, you know, like good to take example that's not, you know, it, you know, that we're not coming from, it's easy to see from third person. So let's just say Japan and China, Japan, Korea, Koreans don't like or angry with Japan because of, you know, generation two ago in wars they were very fierce, did very bad things to them, right? So for them to see, so maybe a Korean person, their son or daughter is going to marry Japanese, oh, how can that be in this? Again, I'm just bringing some idea that some people might think like that, because I want to take an idea that is not, you know, that we can see it just as a third person, and just, so what happens is for us, we'll say, you know, have to see beyond that. It's just another person, that's something other time, other place, like this. But to see in a different way for the person there is not easy, because of the conditioning. We'll have other conditionings that for us it's hard to see in a different way, right? Because we're so used to seeing in a certain way like this. Like Raji, probably not, but I know many people that Indian here, especially that for the children to marry non-Indian can be difficult. Jewish background, you know, if my grandmother was alive when I married, it would be very hard for a non-Jewish person, like this. So that idea is, and Raji, flip a coin, you have one daughter, because what I've seen, and I think it's the average, most families I see with two kids, Indian families, one marries Western, one marries an Indian, like that, most I've seen. So you have to flip a coin.
Whatever makes her happy, I guess. It really doesn't matter.
Good job. But the thing is, so why bring up these ideas? Now As an individual, I want to see that I want to, what is the conscious? But I already take myself as an individual and then I'm studying that. Where Vedanta is looking to what is the individual, questioning your idea of being individual itself. So from the individual perspective, it doesn't fit in. Like from the mechanics we see around us of things moving, the theory of relativity doesn't make sense. What space is space isn't some continuous, just a continuous thing that is equal everywhere, but it can be curved. And what does this mean? You know, so they try to explain it, saying if you have a trampoline, you put a heavy ball, a bowling ball, and so it sinks down. That's what heavy things do to the space. They try to explain in ways for us to understand, because we're seeing the world around us and not seeing how that fits in, right? So the same way, I'm taking myself as a limited thing, and I want to look at I'm this unlimited one. It doesn't work, because the whole thing is, when we're saying this about the conscious and saying you as the conscious being, not you as the individual being, but I take myself as the individual being and I want to see this. So that's why we have to look into, and this helps to negate the whole idea of myself being an individual, because that's an idea. It's a concept, it's not the absolute. It's a relative reality, but not the actual reality. Like the Newtonian physics, the action-reaction of objects, that's relatively it works, but it's not the absolute thing behind everything, because when you get to huge, massive things or to subatomic particles, it works differently suddenly. Especially subatomic particles, it doesn't work by the same thing, so that can't be the absolute reality of things. So this way also, so that's the problem is that we're used to seeing it from this angle. And from this angle, it doesn't work. All these things don't make sense from this angle. But that's just because of our conditioning, like the conditioning examples I gave like this. Somebody's conditioning to see beyond it. They have to be more flexible to look beyond that conditioning. So you're beyond the conditioning of myself as the individual, like this. So this is what the Vedanta is helping to point out. And for us to look into it, and because it's something that it's not it's how more correct to how things are, just like the relativity is more closer correct to what things are compared to the Newtonian physics, but it's subtler, harder harder to understand or to look into from that angle, but it's closer to the truth, you can say. So you're trying to show us what's, who I am really behind this, but due to conditioning, it's hard for me to look at it in that way, in this way. So so that's why all these things, because where's the body? Again, just like the space, where's the body? It's sensations, right? You feel sensations, and then you put it together as a body. You connect the dots and make it a body, but it's a bunch of sensations. You look in the mirror and reflection this, okay, then you say it's this body, but the main thing is you feel it. You feel it, so there's sensations, batch of sensations, you put it together. Sensations always changing. No, but you think of the body as a constant thing. It's constantly changing. And the mind is identifying, it's the mind that's projecting and connecting it all together. Some sensations, and those sensations then in their nervous system, meaning I experience them in the mind. But then the solid, what is it then? So in this way, my mind really helps very much to create the whole reality around me, but I take it as that's how things are in this way. So here, no, that can't be how it really is, but it's conditioning, just conditioning in this way. Without the conditioning, then where would it all be? So. That's what this is pointing out. That's why a lot of the questions that people have early on, they get resolved as we have a deeper understanding of these things. Because the more we understand, then a lot of the earlier questions, oh yeah, that's the question itself comes because it's like if we were to go to study physics and we're new at it and study subatomic particle physics, and we go and we some question we have, and then E equals MC squared, we'll start asking questions or whatever, and the professor with some answers, but then say, and just be patient, after a year or two, you see the question itself wasn't really relevant. It gets negated. So in the end, all of the ideas that happen, everything as we this understanding grows, they get negated anyway, because the question itself isn't really relevant. Doesn't mean we don't ask them. Again, like you ask these questions, very good, because questions come up in the mind, I have to think about them, and this helps to point out, because again, they get resolved as from my understanding, not just, you know, some point, some intellectual information, some information is there, and so I store it in the mind and that's it. That won't help. I have to look into and understand like this, why it's like that. As I understand, more clearly the understanding, then those things, they'll be, you know, by themselves, the question will go away. Question will keep nagging until I'm convinced that it's that's not how it is. So, this is story of our lives, you can say. Mm-hmm. So when you say when the body dies, also conscious there. When you wake up, what happened to all of your? You are an individual, many different dreams. Like different incarnations, different dreams. What happened to that individual? Where did it go? Right? You were there, but it was just an idea of you, but you were behind that. So will it have another, it had many dreams, it will go into another dream? No, because you notice it was just a dream, so the dreams are, you know, it's just a dream, so it doesn't have a reality, so, you know, what? So that's why they say, when one knows the consciousness, they say no next birth. No next birth is a misnomer, because the person knows, I was never born, I never die. So from one perspective, you'll say their last birth. That your last dream when you're going to wake up, that was your last dream, right? Before you woke up. But really speaking, you wake up and then they were all dreams. There was no beginning of dream, no end. It was all just an idea. So if I know I'm the consciousness, then meaning there, not that there won't be other birth, it's true, but there was never birth, never death, because that was just an idea, like this idea within that the mind projects, like this. So this is what it points out, like this. I see other question coming. Good. The goal of changing the perspective is peace. You could say so, but the thing is, what we're looking for in the wrong way. We want peace, we don't want to be disturbed, we don't want to be limited, because we're looking for this within everything. As an individual, you can never find it. Just like, do you ever get to a perfect place in the dream now everything's okay? You get there, but for how long? A few moments, then some disturbance. So as an individual, there will always be change, so there will always be never, you can never find what you're looking for, full security, for peace, full happiness. And because that's the nature of consciousness, but we're looking for it in the wrong way. So when we're looking for the wrong way, the wrong place, we're not going to find it, because that is, whatever you find there is ephemeral. And so that's not the place. When I know I'm this, so you can't say, you know, yes, what my aspirations really are for this, but I'm not seeing that clearly. Really speaking, there's no, as consciousness, there's no goal, no objective, nothing, I just am. But as individual, I imagine I'm something else, and that's all the trouble. When that imagination is gone, no problem. If it appears, the individual appears, then that makes no difference, because I know it's just as an appearance. It doesn't have the, how can it affect me then? Because I know that that's not what I am. Like this, just a notion in that way. So yes, from perspective of the aspirant, you can say, yes, it could be. And the peace we're trying to find is in the wrong place. All these points that you bring up also, all these are good points, and what we're getting into next time is going to elaborate more on this, so this whole background will help so much more with it like that. Yeah, you can say that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the next verse, the karmanya karmaya pasheta karma nicha karmayaha sabuddhiman manushyeshu sayukta kritsna karma krit. We have one verse before that, the other one's just a small introduction. Then, which is what Krishna is building up to in this chapter, which is the main one in this chapter and one of the main ones in Gita. The action in one who sees action in inaction and inaction in action. Karmanya, actually, one who sees inaction in action. That's the first one he says. Within action sees the inactivity. So all this, with all the background we have, that verse will become so much easier and clearer like this. Now when we bring it up next time, because such an important verse like this, that literally one understands that, then one can understand everything. That's why, as we were discussing last class, that Krishna is saying how, talking about understanding action. So understanding action, it's so important that really to understand action, you have to understand, have Atma and Atma Viveka. Because otherwise action, I will understand, this action brings this type of result, right? You really focus, work hard towards something, enough effort and time and this sincerity, you'll get there, very good. But this is still just the surface. It's not understanding what is action. They'll say, oh, yes, action, there's energy in a certain direction, certain force, certain this, but it doesn't get to the base of it because, okay, but that action bring other action, other reaction. Where does it start from? Where does it end? Oh, it's endless. What do you mean? Have you ever seen something beginningless, endless? Doesn't make sense. Where did it start from? Oh, we don't know. We don't know means that you haven't answered it. You don't know it. Science doesn't know because they can think. This is what Swami Dayananji says about. He says that if you become a, you know, postdoc, most expert in the field of something, meaning it's instead of after 5 questions you'll get to I don't know, after 25 questions you'll get to I don't know. So yes, a physicist will know from the Big Bang it arose and all this. We'll know a few small points. We'll know in great detail. But before that, how did it happen? Why it happened? I don't know. So it still says that I don't know. Because the whole world, the whole manifest world, the base of it is I don't know. That's so that you say you're right. Why are you right? The base of the world is avidya. It's not knowledge, not understanding what's there. Right? The rope, why is the snake there? I couldn't see clearly. So avidya. So I don't know clearly what I am, so then I think I'm something else, and then the whole thing is there. I don't know what I don't see clearly, so I think I project the snake, I don't see the rope. If once I know the rope, I don't need to know the snake or anything. So the whole thing of activity in this, all that, has to do with the snake, not the rope. Once I know the rope, what's that? It's just an appearance, what difference does it make? You'll never know, but you'll never get to the bottom of it or know, because it's like the dream, it's like the snake, it's not the substance. So then no problem, whatever it is, let it be as it is. Then of course you will accept any situation because it's part of the appearance, it belongs to the snake, belongs to the dream, not to the waking, not to the rope, in this way. That's why one of the hallmarks of Mahatmas, of saints, is there. Relaxed and happy and loving, because what is their understanding? It's just an appearance like a dream, like this. It's just the snake. It's just from misunderstanding what the rope is. So there's no big, nothing is a big deal then like that. Very good. So good. I'll let the gentlemen coming that are absent today, I'll tell them, please listen to the recording. It'll help very much for next class, because next class, this little information will just very much help to look into Krishna's teachings here. Actually, it's very nice that I didn't plan on doing it this way, but I think it's a very nice aside. You weren't here early in the course, Stephanie, but throughout the second chapter especially, we took a lot of detours, studied a lot of things that are taught in Tattva Bodha, one of the introductory texts on Vedanta, just giving a structure of certain ideas, made it much easier to understand a lot of things in the second chapter. So same here, this will make it much easier now when we go through what Krishna's teaching in this inactivity in action, makes it much easier to understand what he's talking about there. Good, so if any other questions we can discuss, otherwise we'll finish here for today. I say questions on its way. Yeah. So let's finish here for today then. Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.